We have been studying this in the morning, and for us to finish the book, we are needing to have a message this evening, and then one last one next Lord's Day morning. So we're almost finished this epistle with the second last message, and here from chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1 to 11. And we join with me as we ask that God will bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Father, our God, once again, we are coming with our hands empty, looking to be filled, that we might be filled with to overflow by You, Lord, a blessing that comes from Your Word. And we ask, Father, as we are looking at the coming of Your Son on that last great day, that we would have a proper understanding of it, that we would have not only understanding, but an eager expectation and a waiting for that day, to prepare ourselves for that day. Will You instruct Your people, encourage them, and strengthen them as we look to that day? And we ask this that in the blessing of Your Word, as it is read and as preached and it is heard now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Hear now the reading of God's holy and infallible Word. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The largest freestanding timber frame structure in the world is in Kentucky. Did you know that? It is a full-sized replica of the Ark. The ark that long ago, and a replica of the ark that saved Noah and his family and the animals, as you know, in the worldwide flood. Answers in Genesis, that's the ministry in Kentucky who built this ark. And they also have a creation museum. But they do an incredible work helping people and warning them, especially with this ark, of another destruction. Not with a flood, but on the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes and destroys this world by fire. That day we have talked about already this morning, but also we are looking at that here in this text, the day of the Lord. That day long ago, 8 people heeded that message, but what about us today? Are we heeding the message? Are we preparing ourselves for the day of the Lord? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39, "For the days before the flood, people were eating and they were drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage. But up to that day, Noah entered the ark. People knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be the day of the coming of the Son of Man." When I drive by weddings at times, I see beautiful bride and the bridegroom, And they are oblivious of, I would imagine, on that day, of that the coming of the Lord being on that day. Well, the day of the Lord will come on a day where many people are being married and giving into marriage. People are going about their business, going about their lives. And most people are oblivious of the imminent coming of the Son of Man. We have been looking at the question this morning of the coming of the Lord, but specifically for those who are wondering in this church in Thessalonica, what would happen to those who had fallen asleep, those who are dead in Christ? What was their fate, and what would happen on the day of the Lord, on the coming, when Christ comes, what would happen to them? We also saw that there were words of comfort, because those who did die in Christ will be raised first, and they will be caught up together with those who are still alive, and they will meet with the Lord in the air. That's what we know from this morning and today. The question is not what will happen on that day, but what are the times and dates? And that's what Paul says here in the opening words. About times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It will come like a thief. Now, some people look at the scriptures and try to set a date to the times or the actual day when the Lord will come. They can somehow predict that, and they're called date setters. I'll mention a few. C.T. Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, predicted that the Lord would come in 1874, 1914, 1975. Herbert W. Armstrong, the founder of the Worldwide Church of God, also had his predictions. Seventh-day Adventist, there's a long history of false prophecies. And more recently, Harold Camping, with the Family Radio, predicted the coming of the Lord at 6 p.m., May 21st, 2011. Well, when the Lord did not come, he was doing some damage control, and he claimed that it was a spiritual coming, and that the actual physical coming would come 5 months later. Well, these people know their Bibles better. They know that none of us can set a date for the Lord's coming. They're plain false prophets. And we are not to be deceived, as Jesus says clearly, Matthew 24. No one knows the day or the hour, nor even the angels, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. But what do we already know? As Paul says here, that you already know very well that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That's what we know. He will come like a thief in the night. Instead of telling us the times and dates, what Paul is laying before us here is how to prepare ourselves that it will not be a surprise to us as he comes like a thief. No matter the times and dates, day or night, whether we're awake or asleep, let us prepare ourselves for the coming day of the Lord. And firstly, this is how we do it. If you have an outline before you, firstly, let us not be surprised at the sudden day of the Lord. The day of the Lord in Scripture is the day when the Lord will come to judge the earth. He will pour out his wrath upon unrepentant sinners, but also he will come for his people to save them. In verse 9 in this chapter, God does not appoint us, he says, to suffer wrath. He's speaking to the people here in the church, believers. He's not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That day will not surprise believers, even though it will come suddenly. Even though the scriptures give us signs to help us know that the time is near, we don't know the day. We simply must be ready for it at all times, at any time. Also, we know that people in that day, as Paul says, the people will be saying peace and safety. Maybe throughout the media, they will say there's no problem. There's peace on the earth. There's safety. There's security. But is there? That is when it says, when suddenly destruction will come. Like the pains of a mother in labor that are involuntary and they come suddenly, unannounced. And then unbelievers, it says here, will not escape that day. They will not escape. But in verse 4 it says, but you, brothers, but you, believers, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness so that this day would be a surprise to you. Would surprise you like a thief. In Matthew 24, we have the illustration of a servant who's watching over the house. And he's guarding over the house, guarding it from thieves. Now, children, do thieves tell the servant in advance that they're going to come and steal something, break in and steal? They certainly do not do that. So the servant is on guard to protect the house while the master is away. So it is the same with being ready for the master to come back. And he will come back in that way, suddenly, unannounced, like a thief. And be ready to welcome him. Because he will come. Imagine being a servant and being ready at the door to open it for him to come in. Have the table ready. That is what a faithful servant does. Being ready for the master to come at any time. What was the last time you thought, maybe today is the day he will come? Maybe it will be today. If we're going to be ready, it means to be ready at any time. The anticipation of imminent return of the Lord. Just as we should all be ready, and I hope all of you are, to go with the Lord any time. To be called home, to be with him. To be the same, to be ready while we are still alive for him to come. That we live until his return, always ready to see him. Be ready to see him coming in the clouds. But if you think, like the people in the time of Noah, who maybe heard him preaching, 120 years he was preaching, a flood is coming to destroy the earth. And yet, when that sudden destruction came, they were surprised. It came suddenly, and it was too late by that point. But for us, when we know he is coming at any time, we know it will be sudden, but if we are ready, then we can welcome him as he comes to save us. So firstly, you can have confidence that you can not be surprised at that sudden day of the Lord. But secondly, also you can be confident at his coming because you are sons of the light and day. That's in verse 5. And then verse 5 to 8 shows us the second way how to prepare ourselves for the coming day of the Lord as sons of light and day. So the second thing is to let us stay awake and self-controlled as sons of the light. Let us stay awake and self-controlled. Paul's confidence that the Thessalonians would not be surprised is because they are children of the light. They are children of the day. They do not belong to the night. They do not belong to the darkness. That is who they are, and that is who we are. We are children of the light, children of the day. Those who have been taken out of darkness, they have been taken out of a dominion of darkness. And they have been translated into a dominion or a kingdom of light. That's what the scriptures speak of as a conversion. It is a night to day conversion. So then, you are not those who are asleep. This is how he describes those who are in the darkness. Those who belong to the night or to the darkness, they are asleep. They are oblivious to spiritual realities and to the scriptures and these warnings. They are asleep, and so they get drunk at night. But instead, he says, let us be alert. For us who are children of the light, children of the day, let us be alert to be keeping awake and be sober and self-control. Again, why is that? It's because we are who we are. We belong to the day. We do not belong to the night. And then he says, as children of the light, put on faith and love as a breastplate. Here we have an armor of God in this letter. And also the hope of salvation as a helmet. Putting these on as we are alert and self-control. Putting these virtues of faith, love, and hope. A defensive armor that we put on to ensure that we are prepared for that day of the Lord. we find very similar words in Luke 21, 34 to 36, saying, Jesus says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life. Why is that? Because this day will not come on you, will come on you suddenly like a trap. Again, the imminent suddenness of his coming. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But you keep alert at all times, praying that you will have the strength to escape all the things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Stand with what? With that armor of faith and love and hope to stand before the Son of Man. We have this warning here for all of us that on that day, as it comes, it will come as a trap, that we would not be trapped on that day. Trapped by what? The things that are weighing us down. Worries of life, anxieties, dissipation, it says. Things that distract us from being alert, being self-controlled and sober. We so often can get absorbed, overly absorbed with the preoccupations of life, that we actually are armorless to stand on that day, no longer alert. So it needs the reminder for self-control to stand before the Son of Man on that day, dressed with faith, love, and hope. We will be prepared when we remember, again, who we are in Christ, who we belong to, and that we belong to the light and not to darkness as children of light. And that also we have received salvation already and be ready to receive it on that day as well. In verse 10 it says that Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. So how do we prepare ourselves for the day of the Lord? There in verse 10 and 11, we have another way. Let us encourage and build each other up as we live with the Lord. Being awake, because He died for us. So since Jesus died for us, we find that purpose for us in our lives, that we will be living together with Him. Since He died, we will live together with Him. And what that means is this, two things. That we cannot live with Him unless He Himself is a living Savior. He died for us, but He also rose again for us to be our living Savior. And secondly, that we only live with Him because He has raised us up to new life as well. He has made us alive in Him. Do you see that? Because Jesus died for us, then we can live together with Him. And it says whether we are awake or asleep. And if you think back to this morning's message, we can certainly see from this text that being awake is meaning being alert, being alive. But what about the word asleep? We might think of the word we heard this morning. Those who are asleep are those who have died in Christ. But we have to look at the context here, that those who are asleep are those who actually are in darkness. Those who are children of the night. Those who live in the night and get drunk at night. Otherwise, if we understand that those who are awake, those who are living, those who are dead, those who are actually unbelievers, then we're speaking of universalism here, that all people will live together with Him. But here we have a very clear distinction between those who have been appointed to suffer wrath, unbelievers, and then also those who will receive salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, there will be two kinds of people. There will be those who are alert, those who are awake and ready to receive Him and His salvation, and those who are destined, appointed to destruction. In other words, what we find here are those especially looking at chapter 4 as well. Those who are living in Christ and those who are asleep in Christ, those who are dead in Christ, those are the ones who will live together with Christ. And they too, both of them, are waiting for the promise of the resurrection. We looked at that this morning. We all await the promise of the resurrection and our union with Christ for eternity long. And with this knowledge, the church in Thessalonica was then to encourage one another and to build each other up. And as he says, just in fact, you are doing. You are already doing that. We all feel discouraged ourselves in our lives. And we at times need to encourage ourselves with these scriptures when we are weighed down with all kinds of worries in this life. So what do? We recognize that we so often forget who we are. When we look back at who we are in Christ, instead of going to other things in this life to deal with our worries, self-medicate, where we find ourselves at times walking in a stupor, that is moving in that direction of the night, into the darkness. But if we are children of the light, walking in the light, we have light to bring us to a word that shines the way for us, reminding us of who we are, that we are children of the light. As children of light, to be alert and self-controlled. This is how we can encourage one another and build each other up as well, with words that we can share to one another. And at times when people come to us with discouragements, we might throw out a Bible verse, and we have to be careful not to give trite advice that is really ultimately not helpful. But what can we say to people to really help them in their discouragement? Here are four truths that you can remind people of. First of all, as a review here, reminding them of their place, our place. What is our place? That we are not in darkness. If we are children of light, we walk in the light. We're not of darkness. That this day that is coming would somehow surprise us like a thief. Second truth is that reminding us of our identity, that we are children of light and of the day, so that as children of light, we can be alert. We can be self-controlled. And thirdly, our duty. Reminding us of our duty. Since we are children of the day, we put on those virtues of faith and love as a breastplate, and put on hope as our helmet. And the fourth truth is our destiny. God has not appointed us to this wrath, to his anger, but to receive salvation. That is what he has appointed us to receive that salvation that is in Jesus Christ. So, with these truths, we can encourage one another. We can build each other up in our place, our identity, our duty, and our destiny. It's very clear here that Paul is speaking to believers. He's mentioning the fate of those who are unbelievers, but he's making it very clear that it is for those who need this encouragement, the comfort, and also to be prepared for that coming day of the Lord. But also there's a clear warning for those who are unbelievers. Any unbelievers here today, those who may be asleep, those who may be belonging to the night or to the darkness. Many will have the appearance of being awake. Many will seem to belong to the day. But they will be surprised on that final day. And they will not escape God's anger in judgment. Because of what? Because simply they have not put their faith and hope in Jesus Christ. They have not put on that breastplate of faith. They haven't put on that helmet, which is the hope of salvation, to be clothed with Jesus Christ himself. If that is you, you can have this life in Jesus Christ. For He died, and He lives forevermore for sinners to forgive them and give them life. And to receive that salvation is simply to repent of sin, to renounce that darkness and those ways, and finally to receive it, to receive the free offer of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will join with all those who are eagerly waiting for the Savior to come. Until He comes, will you prepare yourself? Will you be prepared by living with Him as a child of light and of the day, and being alert and self-controlled for that day? So this week, let's encourage each other to be ready. Encouraging each other, building each other up, stirring up faith, showing love, and bringing the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because maybe this week, as we begin as the first day of the week, maybe this week the Lord will come. And now you've heard words to encourage you and be prepared. So let's stay awake always for His coming. Let's pray together. Father, as we have come to this, Your Word, and we are reminded again of our need to be alert and to be self-controlled. Lord, so often we are weighed down by all kinds of worries of life, and we're preoccupied by many things, and we forget that one day You will come riding on the clouds in glory. And may we be ready in a moment to receive that salvation that You have for us on that day. Lord, we pray that You will give us this breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation, enabling us every day to put these on, that we will be ready for that day to receive You. And we pray for those who have yet to believe, that they will, the youngest to the eldest, that they would all believe and be ready for that day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.